Gus Kattengill. Local sports, national sports. The G-Cat is on it.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Now, saddle up for a tall glass of sports talk. Here's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hour number three, off and running. Hour one was brought to you by No Way Outfitters, 1926 Airline Drive over in Metairie. Looking forward to doing our first remote over there. John 4K to my left. Very, very Katie's here in Mid-City. As Chef Scotty earning his keep up there, sir. We were just talking about how you literally just right there by your car still catering on the corner.
Yeah.
If NLP is listening, there's a reason you're on the corner. You're doing business.
Selling myself.
I'd give a good nickel 95 for the chef. I mean, very least he's going to bring something good to you.
Hey, before you leave, I need a Gus salad to go.
All right.
I'll pay for it.
Gus salad.
So you were asking earlier about fruit.
Yes.
Anything perishable that you eat is considered food.
Food.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I was kind of curious. I didn't know if it was.
If it can go bad, you got to have a license for it.
All right. Well, it's kind of a strange deal because we do put fruit in our shakes and stuff. So now they're trying to tell us, no, you can't have that in there because you're a tea shop. Well, no, we're a healthy tea.
I'll tell you what to do later.
Okay.
Let me ask you this because Boot Crew Media put this out a couple days ago. And we were having some fun with it. I just want your opinion on it being a somebody that does a restaurant and things of that nature. If there's a food group that you have to choose from, something to eat, like your main dish, a side, and then a dessert.
And the difference between the Asian crawfish tails, which are terrible, they're tough, they don't package them with the fat. And Louisiana tails are packaged with the fat. You can see the difference when you look at them frozen, you know?
Interesting.
Mm. And it makes a big, big difference. Like our tails are, I mean, I wouldn't use Asian
flavor.
Anything.
Yeah, of course.
Nothing against Asians.
No, I understand.
But I don't like their seafood.
When you live here, you should use the local stuff.
We have a sign on the door that says we use local seafood.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. The other,
second row.
Gumbo.
Either or seafood or chicken andouille.
Jambalaya, etouffee. One of the three.
I'd go with a great gumbo.
Yeah, me too. Oh, wow. Here we go.
We got two for two. And it's the last but not least. This is the tiebreaker.
The dessert. Beignets, Pauline, king cake.
Oh, that's on my choices.
I didn't come up with it.
I guess beignets.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
All three of us.
I'm not that huge king cake guy.
Yeah, I'm not a king cake.
Pralines are good, but pralines have to be done right.
Yeah? What are you doing? Same three?
Same, four.
West Bank Rick over there. We'll hear from you here shortly, sir. Get your thoughts. I've never made an etouffee at home.
It's not hard. Start with a roux.
What is the key to an etouffee?
A great roux.
That's what he said.
Start with a roux.
Same thing in gumbo.
But you don't want the roux. You want a blonde roux. You don't want it to be too dark.
So you want a blonde roux?
Yeah, and I would use butter.
Lots of
for my roux.
Okay, what if Anna's she's lactose intolerant, so I can't use butter?
Use either margarine.
Okay.
Or almond.
Okay.
Or oil.
Okay. All right. There you go. Easy enough. Tomorrow, another Lent. Friday.
Yes.
Give me some of those specials, some of the fish that you got, then we can move on.
Grouper, trout. Redfish. Fresh catfish.
Like you just putting them on a plate, or I mean, what comes with it?
We're serving it. We like to do it the NOLA plate, which is, we do it with fresh vegetables, jumbo crab, and we've got some nice crab right now, and 16-20 shrimp grilled on top, a little bit of herb butter. And it takes nothing away from the fish. Sometime we'll do one of the fish dishes over potato salad with a seafood cream sauce. Or we'll do fried meniere. I like it grilled over vegetables, man. It's just so good. We can do it over pasta. We can do fish over pasta, either fried or grilled. with a little sauce. I mean, it's just so many things you can do with fish.
I hear you. You need to give us a schedule so I know when you're free so we can all do the steak dinner. Are we doing it before the draft or after the draft? I've not forgotten it, especially after I listened to
morning. Got to be after the draft.
Who owes me a steak now?
I guess it has to be the draft.
I didn't lose
draft.
Anything yet. No.
To make sure that
I told you LSU
round.
Would make the playoffs.
No.
I didn't say they were going to make the championship game.
I'm trying to find that text.
Anyway.
Female. I'm
that's
not talking about
fine.
The basketball team, not the football team.
Oh, the basketball team.
You said about the basketball team. I said the basketball team.
I think they're going to be in the championship.
You did say
in the
that.
Final four, I said.
Now, there is an amendment, West Bank Rick, I don't know if you know this too as well. If Jane Daniels somehow goes number one, then I get like martinis with my steak. You know,
you'll get
a amount of martinis, but
you'll get a silverware.
Of 4K and his hatred for LSU says.
Yes, well, I just
Jaden Daniels is going to do well.
Well, listen,
he will.
Listen to what I heard this morning.
Way better than Williams
on ESPN New Orleans.
I think Jaden Daniels is a better quarterback because I think Jaden Daniels does the ordinary things better.
Yeah,
that's what I. You know, everyone is so enamored about the off platform, off schedule, all those type of things. Give me the quarterback who can recognize, diagnose, be accurate, and most importantly, when pressure comes, deliver the ball against man-to-man defense, against man-to-man coverage. Jaden Daniels does that better than Caleb Williams, in my opinion.
There you go.
And so for me, listen, both of those guys are dynamic. Hell, all these quarterbacks coming to the league are dynamic. They're athletic. But I want to know who can do the ordinary things the best.
May.
And I feel like that's Jaden Daniels.
Now, John, that's Damian. That's Damian Woody.
Right. He's a center.
Damian Woody?
Did he play offensive line?
No, he's a defensive lineman for the Patriots, Damian Woody.
Damian Woody's smart.
He's good.
I don't
he's
care.
A champion. Anyway, whatever. The point that I'm trying to say, because you're so worried about crushing Jaden Daniels, what I'm saying is when I think
you're lucky Dart is not playing in this draft this year.
Who?
Dart.
He's too small.
Ole Miss. No, he ain't.
It's going to be
too
another
small.
Johnny Manziel.
Too small.
Johnny Manziel.
You talking about your Ole Miss quarterback?
Let me wear number two.
Oh, my.
It's Johnny Manziel.
All right. Can I get back to a first-rounder, please?
Okay, please do.
All right. C.J. Stroud just got done having
fantastic
what a lot
game.
Of people are arguing as the best rookie season ever for a quarterback. Because it is hard, John. There is
really
a change.
Good, but he got hurt. Yeah, I think so.
But even still, there is a gap, right? There is a learning curve. And let's be honest, especially for those quarterbacks that go high, top five, number right. one, number two, you're picking there for a reason,
right?
Right? I mean, right. let's be honest. You're picking there for a reason. It takes some time. What, in your opinion, allowed C.J. Stroud to have that success? Because I do think it's a combination of three things for me. Like we talk about the perfect roux, the gumbo, the etouffee. Yep. You have to have all the ingredients, right?
Yes.
The seafood being one. You got to have this fresh shrimp and things of that nature. But the roux is another one, perhaps the seasoning, cooking time, whatever. So it wasn't just C.J. It was C.J. But what would you say? Give me the three things that allowed that to happen.
The first thing was the guy's got an arm. Okay, let's talk about his arm. The second thing is he's got football intelligence. What I mean by that?
So IQ.
His IQ in football. I know they talk about, well, that test they were supposed to take. All that testing stuff that they do to these quarterbacks, that's the Wonder League, that's ridiculous.
How'd you do
it's,
on
you
it?
Know, it's like a guy worked for IBM or
how did you
or,
do
or
on
whatever.
The Wonder League, Johnny?
You get it? I have no idea. I think I spelled my name correctly and they gave me 6 points. But the point I'm trying to get is that he's got the athletic ability with his arm throwing for sure. And the guy definitely knows the game of football. That's another factor there. And last but not least, I'll tell you what, the guy, other than the IQ and the athletic ability to throw the ball, the guy's accuracy. I know he's got a cannon, but, boy, he could throw the ball with
that's
accuracy.
Good.
And that's a big key in my three things. But the IQ, football IQ, is up there, the arm strength and the accuracy.
You know, I saw Stroud. I remember seeing him in one of the playoff games. And I mean, he was just dead on.
He doesn't get. He doesn't get.
No,
and I was like, this guy's
going to
be a good quarterback.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah, the
poor Carolina.
You and I talked about
up.
In the Georgia playoff game.
Yeah,
the Georgia.
I remember telling you that.
You told me that.
I was like, there's that one play
that
you
kept bringing it
right down the middle.
Well, things were all happening all around him, but his head never moved,
right.
And he delivered an accurate ball there. The touchdown against the Saints in the end zone.
Yeah.
It was a play right there. But here's another aspect that I think is important, Jim. I mean, Jamie, I'm going to get to you right before the break here. Fit, I think, is one of the most important aspects of it, too, right? Mm-hmm. And he was put in a perfect spot where that offensive coordinator, he went out there asking him to throw 47 passes a game in shotgun, you know, throwing it around everywhere. A lot of the things that I saw C.J. Stroud excel in, quick decision-making, the plays were built into that. It was very San Francisco sort of like, right, with that offensive coordinator where he rolled one way. I mean, the bomb in the playoff game that he threw, it was a misdirection. It was a play action.
Right.
Remember, we always call it, we talk so much about the Saints not using play action. It was a play action to the left, roll to the right, get your feet planted, fire away. I mean, there's no decision-making. You know, it was just the play helped him. The design helped him. The staff helped him on that.
I got to interrupt real quick because West Bank Rick just left.
Yep.
I wonder if he's named after Rick James.
He has the best hair ever.
He's got the greatest hair.
Got it.
And Rick James had that hair. You remember Rick James, the singer?
Yes, he did. I love it. But that's the thing that really stands out to me, too. Like, when I think of what made him successful, I never felt like in watching him, he was out of sorts or he was being asked to do a little bit too much. And then as he grew through the season, you saw him start to take control. Like, he looked different than when he played the Saints.
He was a super freak.
Oh.
Yeah, you saw it. That was him. C.J. Stroud was a super freak player. But that was the thing about him, that he's so poised. But look, we didn't even talk about it. You don't hear about him off the field. You don't hear about him.
But, okay.
He's just a...
So that's why I'm playing this, and I'm going to play the bite when we come back from the break here as well, and Jimmy, I'll get to you right after the break. Because that's why I think Jaden Daniels, I'm not saying he's C.J. Stroud, but Lewis Riddick had something along the lines that said he wouldn't be surprised if he has a Stroud-like season, because some of those principles that you just described, I would probably use to describe why I think Jaden Daniels can work.
The only thing that scares me about Daniels, he's not thick enough. Like C.J. Stroud is a big
CJ's dude. A monster.
Daniels has got to put some weight on him.
Because if he's going to take run as much as he did,
correct?
Because he'd get in.
Because he could take a pounding, man. He's a little over 200.
I will say this: I don't think he needs to be Lamar.
If he
can be Russell Wilson in his days with Seattle, he extended plays. You don't think of him as a running quarterback.
Right,
and he would always run out of bounds, get down, but he would always
kill you. Reminds me like, what's his name? Young. Steve Young was a guy. Cunningham, those guys. They didn't get out to try to run. They scrambled to make things happen with their arm, if you know what I mean.
Quick break. We come back. Chef Scotty, John Forkade, and then also Jimmy. When we come back, it's a Sports Hangover in ESPN New Orleans.
Hangover with Gus Kattengill on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN 1003.com.
Welcome back. It is Thursday, which means it is our crew of Katie's. We are in Katie's in Iberville. John 4K to my left, Chef Scotty Mingwin. Look at him through the window over there. Just
He's
supposed to be making your salad.
I don't understand. See what
I mean? Jimmy, I'm going to get to you in about 60 seconds or so, but a gentleman who was sitting here in front of us, your name is Wally?
Yep, Wally.
Wally, nice to meet you, sir. You came up to us during a break, and you mentioned something. New Orleans is a small world, small town kind of feel. It really honestly is. And tell me if this isn't crazy. So we all heard about the whole Jimmy Graham about to go through the Arctic and row and all that other stuff, right? Across the seven seas other stuff. Wally?
Yeah, so I was just coming in to eat and saw you guys here. Thought I'd do a shout-out and a plug for my buddy's daughter, Hannah Hoopy, who is the one who spearheaded this expedition. And like I was telling
Gus,
she had been working on funding for this big expedition for some time, you know, run into whatever roadblocks, and on a whim, she decided to communicate with Jimmy Graham and send him some kind of electronic communication and about what she's doing.
Yeah.
And he came back and was like, okay. Wow. And they're just like that, and they got going, and he's kind of, I think, I'm not going to say taking it over, but certainly his name propels the whole the whole event.
Yeah, no doubt. So. That's crazy. I mean, I can't imagine that. Now, is your friend's daughter into rowing?
Yes.
Is this something that...
Yes, she and her husband, who is also going on the expedition,
okay.
They rowed Tulane. They created a juniors program here for rowing crew in the Bayou, and then her husband currently is, I think he's the women's coach at Tulane because he also teaches there. And anyway, they've done other big expeditions. One, and they represented United States in big international competitions, rode all over the world. So.
Wow, that's incredible. Small world.
Yeah.
Because we all read the story and kind of saw the tweet, you know, Jimmy Graham saying, I can't believe I'm doing this. I'm like, dude, that is crazy to do that.
It's crazy.
Yeah. it's crazy. But it's cool to kind of get maybe the genesis of how it all came to be and how we got involved in that. Sure. Literally on a whim just by meeting at lunch.
Just by having some gumbo.
a little
seafood gumbo. Chicken and dewy.
Chicken and dewy.
Chicken and dewy, there it is.
Yes,
I'm with you. Thank you, Wally. Go enjoy your lunch, man. Appreciate it.
Take care.
Jimmy, thanks for holding on, sir. What do you have for us today, man?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Doing well, man.
What's up, Jimmy?
Hey, I love when y'all three get together. Three things. 4K, I'll see you on the West Bank this Sunday at the Irish-Italian Parade in Gretna. Second annual.
Sweet.
I'm looking forward to that. Yes, there's an Irish and Italian parade, actually, and it's on the West Bank there in Old Gretna. Yes, and with the price of groceries, Gus, with the price of groceries, you might come get a couple of heads of lettuce for the family on the free. And as far as Chef Scotty's concerned, look, Will Wade beat UNO last night, but we snuck into the Southland tournament, the back door there, Chef Scotty. UNO's going to be playing Sunday in Lake Charles against SLU at 5 o'clock. So there is still some hope. I know Schlesinger, the rumor is he is on the hot seat. We'll see if Tim Duncan, the AD, makes a move or not, brings in one of his Memphis guys. The AD at UNO played at Memphis with Anthony Hardaway. People don't realize that. I mean, Chef Scotty knows that, of course. He's the UNO computer chip. But I want to get y'all's take on Michael Thomas, okay? I mean, look, we know he's gone, or Jeff Duncan. Okay, just looking at how all this has played out, and he had a great run at one point. But when you look at all the things he's done where, you know, he turned on Drew Brees a few years ago with the whole George Floyd thing. And, again, I'm not picking sides in that. I'm just, you know, it's like turning on your wife, right? It's a choice somebody might make, and it might backfire. But I just looked at that as the first sign of, like, you know, Drew Brees made Michael Thomas a lot of money, right? They call him Slam Boy and all that. Okay, we'll let that slide. Let's fast forward to this year. Throwing bricks, fighting other players on the team. Mid-season, Gus, calling out Derek Carr after lobbying for him to come. Within a month or two later, he's like, now he's tweeting and basically calling Jeff Duncan a little punk for saying he's being released. He's like, no, I'm a free agent, boy. I'm a, you're a punk, whatever. You know, I'm paraphrasing, but you get the point. Explain this to me, though. Is he so wealthy, like Chef Scotty, that he could just say, like, F you? Or is he, like, why would he do this if he's a free agent and he wants to go play somewhere else? Why would he be putting this kind of reputation out there? Explain this to me. Why?
That is interesting, and I wonder if that's why his agent did come out, Jimmy, thank you for the phone call, and say, hey, look, this was always a one-year deal, and that was the language, kind of maybe doing some damage control to that point, because, look, let's be honest, let's take his name out of it, and if I tell you Russell Wilson, listening this morning, the amount of people, there's a former Bronco, Super Bowl champion that's come out and said it was his attitude. It was that his family was the only family allowed at training camp. That it was just, you know, he went on and on. And Colin Cowherd this morning, I thought, said it best. He goes, look, even Aaron Rodgers and Peyton Manning, who's, you know, he ran Indy, and, you know, John Elway was known for running the Broncos and all that. But you've never had teammates come out and bash those guys.
Right. The thing
and
is,
it is interesting, as he brought up, with Russell Wilson, the second he leaves there, you know, Pete Carroll came out in Seattle. Several Seahawk players came out and said that. Like, and that's the thing. It does hurt you, right? I mean, like, before I make that phone call, and it is interesting to what Jimmy's just saying here. What? Why are you going back and forth with Jeff Duncan?
You see,
you know what I'm saying?
I don't understand this guy. That's, you know, some people have certain M.O.s.
Yeah.
This is his M.O. And I guess if you go back to his college days, something he's probably said some things in college too. But when he gets into pros now, and it happened, he was quiet as a pecan. You know, he was so quiet you couldn't understand why he's so quiet before he got his contract. Then he gets the money. And he's like, well, I can go say what I want now because nobody's going to touch me. Nobody's going to say anything about me. Nobody's going to say negative things about me because I'm the man. Well, what happened? When all of a sudden now he's like, I can say what I want, do what I want. Because, yeah, he went out there and wanted Carr. That's only for show. That's just because he wanted any quarterback to come in here because he knew that he didn't have anything with Winston. He knew he had everything with the Red Rifle. He knew he didn't have anything with Simeon, anybody of that nature. Now he's in here, and he's just throwing it on the wall and hope something stick. What I don't understand is you knew as well as I knew he was not going to be here for this upcoming season. Him and his agent knew that. So just shut up. Get kicked off the team. Get out of here. They're going to do whatever they want, release you, let you go, go somewhere else. They couldn't find a trade. You too much money. Nobody's going to pick up that contract. So let's go ahead and release you, go somewhere. Shut up and go about your business. Look, he's going to play for another team. He knew that doggone well before all this come up. I guess he's trying to get his last little shots in to feel like, okay, I just want to go after these certain people. But he's been doing that the last couple of years, you know, saying his things behind his keyboard, not showing up on the sideline, not being around. That's the sad thing about it is he's getting his shots in there, and that's what, you know, they want to talk about is, you know, leave him alone. You know, he's been this, he's been that. Come on. If he didn't have Drew Brees, would we even know about Michael Thomas?
John from Metairie, thank you for giving us a call here on the Sports Hangover. Sir, how are you?
Hey, Gus, I'm all right. Michael Thomas is a clown. Why would the Saints want to lessen his value? And
that's a very good point. You probably, if that were the case, to your point, you would want to increase his value. But, you know, and that's the thing
that's John's, if you're trading.
Well, right, and that's the thing that John's saying here. You're being released or you're going to be a free agent, however it is that you want to look at it. The terminology is release because you don't want to, you know, hit contract markers. But even his agent just said, we all knew this is a one-year deal, and he was going to be an unrestricted free agent, which, again, then makes no sense, his reaction.
And Gus, Damian Woody was an offensive lineman with the Jets.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Patriots. Really? I'm thinking of someone else then.
Yeah.
Thank you, man. Appreciate that, John.
All right, man.
Wait, don't you owe me a steak for that?
I don't know. Steak. Do you see how he's trying to get out of the steak dinner?
And you know, part of Michael Thomas is he's too sensitive, and he blames everything on everybody else. Nothing's ever his.
Correct. If you go back and look at all his comments.
Up, it's just admit, hey, man, I didn't give it my all.
When he went after Carr this year and I saw the play, I'm thinking to myself, well, you really, what?
Right.
You just didn't catch the ball? If you did catch the ball, you got hurt.
Was it behind him a little bit or was it at his face mask?
It was a little high right there, but he got hit. I mean, I can show you other plays that he got hit on.
How many times has Michael Thomas gone up to get a ball? A lot.
Has he ever dropped one or a quarterback throw one right in the pocket? I can tell you a game where he dropped one, and nobody wants to bring this one up.
Was that?
You remember
the
playoff game against the Rams when Drew Brees audible ran a slant route and he dropped it.
Right.
Yep. It touched his hands. He dropped it. Nobody said a word about it.
Yep.
Nobody said a word.
There were a lot of things that we forget about.
Yep, we only look at the things that happen. Not anybody who likes somebody, they ain't going to touch that one. You know, they're going to blame the quarterback. They'll blame somebody else but the person at the hands of what just happened.
800-998-1003 if you'd like to chime into the conversation. Michael Thomas's tweets about Jeff Duncan. But more importantly,
Jeff will get over it.
I think Jeff He's not bothered by it, to be honest with you.
Sleep,
yeah, Jeff, if you need a place, somebody to talk to, call me later. Gus, I'll take you out for it. We'll go to Hooters and sit at the bar, have a couple of little glasses of water.
I've been there in a while. I go for some wings.
I noticed on my the list of who comes in. I haven't seen you there.
Yeah,
they usually send me a list.
They send you a list, huh?
Yeah, they'll let me know the guys who drink a lot, not drinking, who go there a lot.
Yeah.
And who cares?
Do some work.
Who cares?
It's not that far away. It's 49 days now, gentlemen, from the NFL draft. We got to decide what we're doing on that Thursday. Are we doing something? Do you want to do something? Are you going to be busy on Thursday?
Are you going to be too busy?
A
month?
49 days. 49 days from the first round.
Am I going to be busy on that day?
Of the NFL draft.
It's a Thursday.
It's a Thursday.
It's a Thursday.
A month and a half from here.
Here we go.
What is your average Thursday?
Do you know how many events I had to cater this week?
Okay, so yeah, let's just think of something.
Every day but Monday.
I'll tell you what, we'll let you know where we are.
Yeah,
if you can join. We'll let you know where we are. Oops, sorry, didn't mean to open up the cat and gill salad. Quick break. When we come back, we'll have more of your phone calls. 800-998-1003. Now, is there a scenario you could see, Saints fans, that the Saints go with the receiver at 14, or do you still stay pass? Are you happy with the receiver?
Do you go wide receiver? There, you go with tight end.
Really? Over wide out?
Brock Bowers.
Okay, let me ask you this. After the break, are you comfy?
I'm comfortable with somebody.
With Chris Olave being your number one. Sports Hangover continues next on ESPN New Orleans.
Okay.
It's time to have fun, so come on in. Come on in and win. It's magic. Come and feel the magic. Where winners play every night and day. Cash Magic.
If you love to play, come play with us. Right here at home at your local Cash Magic casinos with 9 locations throughout Southeast Louisiana. Come take a break, have some fun, and let us make you a VIP. At Cash Magic, it's always safe, fun, and friendly. With all the newest games like Jade Star and Ghostbusters and our famous Cash Magic VIP service. So come play right in your own backyard at all 9 Cash Magic locations in Southeast Louisiana. Homa, Thibodeau, La Rose, Raceland, Galliano, Bayou Vista, and on the West Bank Expressway.
You'll always be a VIP Cash Magic.
Must be 21 or older. Valid ID required. Gambling problem 877-770-STOP.
Lady of the Sea Community Pharmacy staff are trained in finding the lowest cost available on your medication. Stop by with your prescriptions, our medicine bottles, and let one of us review your options with you. With 2 convenient locations to serve you, we're located in Rouse's Supermarket, Highway 3235 in La Rose, or at Lady of the Sea Medical Clinic in Cutoff. Our staff available Monday through Friday from 8:30 a.m. to 7 p.m. and Saturdays 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. We treat you like family at Lady of the Sea.
Lakeview Massage and Therapy is a must for recovery, getting rid of pesky pain, or to simply relax. It's part of Upper Cervical Family Chiropractic and Wellness, so this isn't a neon sign place. They have specialists performing work geared specifically to you. Rejuvenate with a 60, 90, or 120-minute session of Himalayan salt stone, injury and recovery, lymphatic detox, pre- and postnatal, post-mastectomy movement, traditional therapeutic massages, and ashiatsu. I've had that. You want to try it. Trust me. LakeviewMassageAndTherapy.com for info where recovery meets relaxation.
Adventure, intrigue, mystery, romance.
It's a storm of entertainment that brings down the house.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN 1003.com.
Is the way to chime into the conversation. Welcome back to the Sports Hangover. It's continuing as waiting for the guys to put the headsets back on. Yeah, feel free. Here we go. Come on, stop yapping. I want y'all to hear this.
Talk about
comedy. Yeah, you're gonna love this.
Okay.
He's continuing the tweet, Michael Thomas.
Oh, he is.
He is. He is. He's tweeting some more.
Michael Tweet Thomas.
Michael Tweet Thomas. Cam Jordan, though, is crossing his fingers three times, three emojis when Michael Thomas tweets. Drew played 20-something years. I think I'm still the only one to do what we did. Maybe you excuse for someone else. And then he also tweeted, until y'all go catch 149 in 16 games, more 15, but I will give you 16.
It was eight years ago.
Holla at me. Great is great. So he is
Oh, my God. He's a piece of work.
Tommy the Tiger's a piece of work. What's up, sir? How are you? Thank you for calling the show.
Hello, Tommy.
Did you just add some dead air? Did 4K kick the plug out again?
No. Hey. No, we just don't know how to tell time. I thought we had a 3-minute break. Apparently, we had a 30-second break. What?
We were holding the conversation over.
It smells like old piss in there. Who is that? Old piss? It smells like that somewhere. I don't know.
Old Spice? Old piss?
same dog, different dress.
Yeah.
I'm surprised 4K's got the time to do your show. I thought he'd be chasing those co-eds with Joey Freshwater up in Oxford.
Yeah, man, I need to get back to Oxford, baby. You can't go wrong with Oxford. The Grove, the beautiful scenery.
The Grove is like an alley of like two trees, isn't it?
Right. I mean, it's some trees.
Literally, it's like a courtyard.
It's some trees with a bunch of preppies.
It's a courtyard.
And what do y'all have at LSU?
Yeah, why do you do ice stuff?
Crossing the street.
What kind of students wear ties to the game, man? Come on.
Have you been to an LSU game? I've seen kids.
I've been to an LSU game.
Right.
Plenty of them, John.
And don't the fraternity guys wear suit and ties? And
no.
You tell them, oh, BS. I've seen them. Been there. All college kids that you're in a sorority or anybody who's in a fraternity at a college town.
John, how many national titles has Ole Miss won?
That's all he got to fall back on
in any sport.
You can't drink in the Grove, though. A cop gave me a ticket. He looked at my cup. I said,
what?
You can't drink in the Grove anymore?
What? When's the last time you've been to Oxford?
Okay, well, I got a ticket about 10 years ago.
Well, the difference between drinking in the Grove and drinking down the street, you probably was walking down the street drinking. Because you can drink in the Grove.
Where I was.
There she was, just a walking man.
I don't drink anymore. I don't drink any less.
Any less. I hear you.
Jaden Daniels, he plays in the NFL Junior League, the SEC. He's taking some hits. Yeah, he's got to put on a few pounds. But like everybody said, he can't run like that in the NFL. That's bull. He's still going to be able to run. He needs to go down. He needs to step out of bounds. Not absorb any hit. But I'm going to tell you, he's going to be good, and the Bears better hope that they don't screw this up like the Panthers did. You think the Panthers fans aren't fuming about that pick?
Oh, they are.
Jeez. Could you imagine?
I remember we were at that game looking at each other like, oh, my God, yeah, this is the number
Bryce one. Bryce Young's going to struggle.
Yeah, he will. I don't care who's coaching that team. That's a bad choice.
Better hope they don't screw it up. But I got one last question for Johnny Football there. And then I'm going to hang up and listen, I guess. Johnny Boy.
Yes, sir.
Can you name me any quarterback from Ole Miss that has done decent in the NFL, not named Manning? I'll hang up and listen. What's that, Coach O? Go Tigers.
John 4K did.
No, we're talking about the NFL.
I played in the NFL. You're
not high school.
Whatever.
I did well.
I'm on the 100 greatest touchdown.
He did? Okay.
He does all right, other than you and Eli Manning.
It did come on an interception, though.
Give us one quarterback that's been successful in the other NFL other than you and Eli and maybe Archie.
Okay, it's been a they passed through.
Yeah, what was that?
Did you have Burrows? No, you had Burrows. That's the last one you really
Burt
had.
Burt Jones.
That's yep. Way
the last
back.
One you had.
Y.A. Tittle. Okay, I'm going.
He
back.
Wasn't even born that when Y.A.
It's okay, but he was still great in the NFL. Okay. Burt Jones, Y.A. Tittle, Burt Jones,
Norris Reese.
Norris Reese. He was a backup.
Well, he still played in the NFL.
He played.
I don't care. If you can make it to the NFL, play, you did a good job.
Norris Weiss is his answer. who else?
And was Burrow LSU or Ohio State? I don't know yet. What was he? Was he Ohio State or LSU?
He won a natty with LSU.
All right, y'all can rub it in. It's okay. That's okay. All right.
Look, I'm just still amused. He wanted to talk about
it. Just don't try to put Ole Miss up against LSU with football championships. I didn't. You're the one saying it.
I'm just saying it doesn't happen at Ole Miss.
All I know is I'll bet this much that I made as much money at Ole Miss than Burrow's made at LSU. I'll bet you anything.
I bet you did.
I just didn't go for broadcasting it. Like, you know, now I can. Can't do anything to me.
Breaking news. Nick Underhill suggested this a little bit ago.
Here we go.
That they were in the process of dotting the I's and crossing the T's. Gentlemen, Tyrann Mathieu signing a new deal with the Saints that will keep him here for the next 2 years per source.
Yeah, but what? 4K says he's done.
Well, you're shaking your head.
He had a great year last year. How many years has he been here?
2 years.
Two. He's only been two?
Statistically, he's had good years.
Yeah, one good year and one not so good.
Statistically, he had the most tackles 2 years ago, and then last year he had a good season, too.
If your DBs are having the most tackles, they don't need to be playing.
That's not his fault.
I know.
Here we go.
All right.
Now,
any other negativity?
Justin Robinson is the safety for the Broncos that got released.
Yes.
Apparently, it is his good friend.
With Simmons.
That's what I meant. Justin Simmons. Justin Robinson?
Yeah, the patch.
Well, Tyrann Mathieu.
He wants him?
Well, he said he wishes he could go on a rant as one of the best safeties got released and all that stuff, but he'll land on his feet. Do you think the Saints should go after?
Well, we don't have the money.
You could find the money.
Yeah, but what are we going to do with Abrams?
He's not on the team. There's only two safeties on the team right now.
Then you go after him.
That's what I'm saying. That are signed. I'm not saying you can't bring back Abrams.
Just to irritate.
Because here's the thing. There's a lot of safeties in the market right now.
Yeah, Pryor.
Which means the value, you're going to be able to get one without paying out of the box.
Why did Peyton release him?
Money.
They say $14 million.
Yeah, the Saints always have money.
That's what I'm getting at. Like, if I say who are you going after in free agency next week, okay? On Monday, are you contacting a safety?
I would.
Linebacker? There's some good linebackers that got released.
Yep.
A defensive end? A wide receiver?
They got a lot of
good. An offensive lineman? Who? Regardless of your money, you only got a little bit of money, all right? And Mickey's asking both of you guys to walk in this tomorrow. And he's going to treat you all to lunch. If we can only spend on one guy, one position group, what position group in free agency would you like to attack? Free agency meaning you're going to get experience?
Probably a guy that can. I got to go safety.
You're going safety?
I got to go safety.
Scott, you get to pick one position group in which the Saints will spend whatever money they have for the best player available. Well, not just best player available, but just to go get somebody that can come in. Where do you think?
Tackle.
Tackle? Well, because tackle's going to cost
D-line.
You.
Or D-line.
So you're going at D-line?
I mean, we need both more than we need anything.
D-end or D-tackle?
Offensive tackle.
Okay.
And
again,
is Peyton Turner going to work out?
You can go get players in the draft.
We've got
those might be
ends.
Guys that you know. Because the reason I asked that going into the break, how comfortable are you with Chris Olave being your number one receiver?
I wouldn't mind the Saints picking Brian Thomas in the first round.
You don't think there's a free agent?
He's not fast enough. He's not fast enough. Olave. Now you've got Shaheed.
I would even say that.
Shaheed.
Does it concern you with some of the
injuries?
No, I wouldn't know the injury. I mean, he got, concussed and stuff like that. I'm talking about more of the comments at times.
It's always Carr's fault.
He needed to kind of grow up and mature and do some things of that nature.
Yeah, he's got a ways to go.
Okay, I never thought he was the number one when he
went
drafted.
He has the talent. He can do all those different aspects, but to his size, I mean, the Saints have got to get, and that's one thing Michael Thomas did do. We can rip his tweets, we can rip his demeanor, the mouth, and all this, and he's still tweeting about respect and disrespect. But the guy was big. Yeah. And one area that Nick Underhill actually wrote yesterday, and a couple of other people here as well, Ross Jackson brought it up. The Saints, especially in this system, that's going to be quick, out of your hands, short, 10-yard in passes. They have got to get a yak receiver. They have got to get a yards after the catch guy. Somebody that can break tackles. Somebody that has some size on him.
You got to have size. If you're going to play this type of offense, the small guys.
Which
that's
is why
a big
I'm
difference.
Saying
Man,
now.
That's Malik Neighbors all over.
That's what I'm saying. I wouldn't be surprised if the Saints get a receiver. There's as many as 7 receivers in this draft that could go in the first round. That have speed. You look at the combine numbers.
And you know who
and
had
some
a
size.
Bad combine was Keon Coleman from Florida State.
Florida State
may drop to the second round.
That's crazy because he absolutely obliterated LSU.
He did.
That guy was so massive. The Florida
State
receiver. But that would concern me. I mean, how can you dominate? I understand it, but how can you dominate on the field? And then
you cannot just go look at the combine and say. That doesn't turn everybody.
No, I hear you.
You got game film.
I understand.
They'll go after that first.
Okay, but let me ask you this as an evaluator. If you get there and that guy dominate like that and he comes in and he's slow and he's out of shape and all that, does that concern you?
No, not
because that shows me you're not working in the offseason.
Let me ask you this. So you talk about this right now, and then like 2 weeks from now, he's doing his pro day.
Well.
And he lights it up. Now what do you say? Well, just a week.
Well, what I say is when he's motivated, he's good.
Well, but we don't know the circumstance about what they're
like. He ran like a 5.40 or something.
Wait, he ran a 5.40.
It was something crazy. Don't mark my word.
Now all of a sudden, John's like, okay, wait a minute.
Say something.
I ran a 4.6. 5 flat.
Well, that's what I'm getting at. If you drop that bad at the combine.
Yeah. I bet he weighed 250.
No. But anyway, it's something just to keep an eye on. I wonder now because, look, say what he was. Michael Thomas, while here, was the team's.
You don't like anybody in the free agency? I like Gabe Davis, the guy from Buffalo.
Well, we can talk about that.
I mean, there's some free agency.
I will put up the top 5 receivers, and we'll see what happens there. Sports Hangover next, final segment in ESPN New Orleans.
And our dedicated staff is here and ready to provide you with the knowledge to make an informed purchase. Come on in to check out some of our exclusive brands, such as Rugged Road, Turtlebox, Orvis, New Canoe, Old Town, and oh yeah, New Canoe 2022 kayaks are now 20% off. No Wake Outfitters, 1926 Airline Drive in Metairie.
How can we be excited about a show where we just talk?
Talk sports.
That's how they talk in the Major League.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
800-998-1003, final segment of the Sports Hangover here. Josina Anderson, fellas, tweeting that she's told the Saints are re-signing Tyrann Mathieu, as Nick Underhill reported first, the length of the deal to 2 years. We have numbers. 2 years, $13 million is what that is. I think that, look, makes a lot of sense. I think everyone's happy on that aspect, and you do
well,
have
that's
that
two
aspect.
2 years, $13 million a year, or 2 years total is $13 million?
It's a 2-year, $13 million deal. So I would say it's total of $13 million.
All right, so he's making, $6.5 million a year.
Yeah, I mean, I'm assuming.
$6.5 million?
I would say per would be, the word that you would need to put in there if that's the case.
Right. That's a good deal for the Saints.
Like triplets from New Orleans Football, adding he was heading into the last year of a 3-year deal he signed in 2022. He turns 32 in May, but he's been a good fit on the field and in the locker room, and obviously a great fit in his hometown. Value of his deal has been good too, so makes sense to extend it.
Yeah.
So it's extending that deal from that aspect as well. And also, one of the things that we'll be keeping an eye on here as well, as we mentioned, is whether or not the Saints go receiver or not. And look, next week, you don't have a ton of money, but you're going to be able to go spend maybe some and go do something with it, right? So do you go safety, linebacker, lineman, tackle? Like, where is the – who are you shopping?
Gosh,
where
you really think they should go receiver?
Well, again, it's a legit question. How comfortable are you with Chris Olave being your one?
I mean, dude, they got bigger fish to fry than
I understand. Well, do you? You better score. You remember the conversation that the Bengals had, right? Back in the day, they should go for a lineman or go Jamar Chase. And I was steadfast in saying, Jamar Chase, you need somebody that can score. You need somebody that can turn the field on you. I'm just saying, is Olave, or is it Rashid Shaheed? Who's your unequivocal number one?
I'll say, we also don't have Joe Burrow. I think
I think Carr has potential in the, with this new offensive philosophy, but he's not Joe Burrow.
So your five receivers or your top receivers in free agency on Monday, you can contact Calvin Ridley. This is NFL Network. They have Calvin Ridley, number one. Marquise Brown at number two. There's your guy, Gabe Davis, that you were saying is 25 years old. Now, Ridley's 29, Marquise Brown's 27, Gabe Davis is 25. And the NFL Network says, I believe deep speed is hard to find, and Brown would fit well as the second or third option on a top 10 offense. If Christian Kirk was worth $18 million a year in a deal that's aged surprisingly well, Brown is worth more. So that's the problem here.
Right.
Right? That's what I'm saying. And they draft.
Well, they're all looking for big money. Well,
What I'm saying. Curtis Samuel.
He's still around?
He's 28, still around. Darnell Mooney. Well, fifth ranked top receiver in free agency. Former Tulane grad. KJ Osborne. Odell Beckham at seven?
They had a report on him. Somebody did like a mock, all these free agents go. They had him going to New Orleans, Odell Beckham, taking Michael Thomas's place. I did read that this morning.
Who?
Tyler.
Odell Beckham.
Yeah, Odell. They had Odell.
NFL Network has him as the seventh-ranked free agent receiver. Tyler Boyd, eight. Michael Thomas, number nine. And that's your top nine.
Mike Thomas.
I would say this. I would look draft at 14 if rather than free agency at receiver for a guy that I could be one or two. You know, like, again, if Olave continues to grow and becomes one, awesome, right? And I do think he has that talent. It's just, all I'm just saying is I'm just evaluating from last year. There were certain things about him that took place where I don't want for my number one, right? Like, the focus, like, what was that story that Jeff came out and then that said that, hey, you had players not on their laptops. Was he part of it? You know, he didn't finish routes. He didn't do – that's not a number one.
Correct. I agree.
You have the potential and possibility, too. I mean, does he have playmaking ability? I love Chris Olave. But last year you saw some things that it wouldn't keep me from picking a receiver. You understand what I'm saying?
He didn't shine.
Okay, well, that's what I'm saying. So, but what I'm saying is, then that opens it up, then, doesn't it? Okay, I'm not saying that's why I'm going with 14, but if one of those top receivers, for whatever reason, six quarterbacks, John, go in the top 10, ridiculous like that, and linemen fall, and man, I don't know, it's a kid from Georgia that's there, or from Washington
14th
or something.
Pick Saints on the board, and you got the Penn State offensive lineman there, and you got neighbors, the wide receiver from LSU there.
Or Brock Bowers.
Brock Bowers. What are you going to do?
What's the plan?
Put this over by you, Gus. I'm sorry. If Penn State's offensive lineman's there.
I think you got to go with the offensive
lineman. But, I mean, if Malik Nabers is there.
I know.
I mean, that's that.
I know.
Jamar Chase.
Well, I will say this. Ross Jackson earlier in the week did say that he feels very confident in this offense because of the guy that you say. We'll talk more about this next Thursday about Penning being more of a run blocker. In this offense, he might actually work as the tackle.
If you think you have your left tackle and
you think you can get another year of Ramchek, it absolutely means go get yourself a playmaker.
But those playmakers are going to be gone.
Maybe
not Brian Thomas.
All right. Thank you as always. Matt Moscone at the Further Reviews next on ESPN New Orleans.